God, in John 14, 1 through 14, God's word states, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, who does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works will these be, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will last forever." Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. God, I am an unclean man with unclean lips, speaking to a people of unclean lips. But we pray, O Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint your servant to speak with boldness, to speak with clarity, and may your word prick the hearts of your people, that it would draw them closer to you. And if there's someone here that don't know you, Father, may the day be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So you may ask the question, why would a ruling elder be coming down here to Northside to preach? That's a good question. I don't know the answer either. But I am a ruling elder at New City, and I am in seminary also doing the MDiv program at RTS. And as I was telling Hunter, that when Matt sent me the email, I forgot to look at my calendar because on the 24th of May, I was taking a final for judges to judges to Esther. And then all of a sudden, I had another week to prepare this message right here. So y'all pray with me as we walk through a few verses of John here out of the 14th chapter. But basically what we are going to pay close attention to is John 14:6, where Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the 3 points for this Presbyterian sermon are the way, the truth, and the life. Those are your 3 points there. But as we go through this, this is the 6th of the 7 I am sayings in the book of John. And the reason I picked the Exodus scripture from the Old Testament is because I think they tie together so greatly. Because Moses asked God to say, if the people ask who sends me, he says, tell them I am who I am. And then he shortened it up and just says to say, tell them I am, because he was talking about himself, God. And here in John, John is pointing out that Jesus is God. And so I just think it goes hand in hand when you look at the scriptures to say from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's all talking about Jesus. And here Jesus is saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was preparing his disciples for him to go to Calvary to die on the cross. And it seems like the disciples, like us today, we don't listen very well. Because as I was looking back through this, Jesus was plain in how he was explaining to the disciples that he was going to have to go away. And here in John 14, Jesus, after he had washed the disciples' feet, he was speaking to them about troubling matters. One would betray him. He was going to have to leave them. Peter would deny him and disown him. And even the disciples, they would turn their backs on him. But Jesus, being God, did not allow that to affect him in ministering to his disciples. Even though that he had a lot on his shoulders, he still gave them hope. He still gave them direction to let them know that, look, yes, I am going to leave you, but don't fear, for I will send a helper. And that helper will guide you through until I come again. How marvelous is our God. He works miracles. Jesus does. So Jesus is preparing his disciples and telling him that the reason he came to earth was someone had to die for our sins. If we look back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, our fellowship with God was broken. And that fellowship could not be restored by any man. The fellowship could only be restored by the one God-man, that is Jesus Christ. So God comes out of heaven, incarnates man, and then the union of God and man is forever in Jesus. And so now Jesus is telling them that, look, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. Well, Jesus, why do we need a way? Well, as I said before, the fellowship was broken. And in the state that we were in as sinners, the wrath of God was against us. And in order for that wrath of God to be taken away, there had to be a sacrificial lamb. That sacrificial lamb was Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary for us. So now the wrath of God is not against those that are in Christ, but now we stand righteous in God's sight because of what Christ has done for us. Are you grateful for what Christ has done for us? You know, as I was coming down here, I was coming to a destination. But in order to get here, I could have traveled 95, which is what I did. I could have taken Route 1. I could have taken 301, coming from Fredericksburg. All of them would have got me here. But that was an earthly choice. In order to get to God, there's only one way. One way. That way is Jesus Christ. And when we say one way, it is actually one way, because It only goes this way up. There's no coming back. There's no two directional traffic. It's one way. One way. Jesus Christ is the one way to God the Father, because God and Jesus are one in the same. So, the Lord had commanded in Deuteronomy 5:32 and said to Moses, I know that after my death, you will surely act corruptly, turning aside from the way that I have commanded you. Isaiah said, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way we walk in. So as Jesus was telling them he was the way was a way of thinking in Judaism that everyone knew of the way that he was talking about, the way, because it was spoken in Judaism. And Jesus makes a tremendous claim when he bound all three of these in the realization into him that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That is the way that we have to walk in it. In the brave new world, there would be a highway called the way of holiness. And in it, the traveler, even though a simple soul, would not become lost. That's regarding Isaiah 35:8. And it was the psalmist who says, teach me your way, O Lord, from Psalm 27:11. So the Jews knew a lot about the way of God and in which way they must walk. And then Jesus just breaks it out and expands it to them and say that I am the way. So if you're in a strange town and you need directions, someone would tell you, go here, make a left, go here, make a right, da-da-da, and you still get lost. But if that individual says, no, come, and I will take you to the place, you don't have to worry about getting lost. And that is what Jesus does for us. He takes us to the place where we need to go. This heaven, the prepared place that God and he has prepared for us, Jesus will take us there. There's no doubt about it. He will carry us there. We don't have to walk. He's carrying us by the power of God's Spirit, that he takes us by the hand, he leads us, he gives us strength, and he guides us personally each day. Are you walking in the way today? Are you walking in the way? Are you walking in the way?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. It's like, whoa, wait a minute here. Yeah. Because we need it that way. Because when Adam and Eve were in the garden, it was a state of innocence there. And they supped with God. God came down and dwelt among them in the garden. He called out to them, so they had fellowship with God. But like I said, after the fall, that fellowship was broken, and there had to be a way of restoration. And Jesus does that for us, that mankind needs a way to be reconciled to God. The law, even though they had the law, it did not reveal the Father. But God, through Jesus, restores our fellowship with him. And even though we don't stand perfect in God's eyes, because of Jesus, we do stand righteous and holy because of what he has done for us. So Jesus is a way to the Father primarily because his death made access to the Father's presence possible for sinful human beings like you and I. He is also the way to God because he is the truth. He brought the truth of God into the world, proclaiming it and embodying it. Therefore, when people come to Jesus, they come to the one in whom the truth about the Father is found. No one has ascended into heaven but Jesus. No one has ascended descended down from heaven, but God, and he in incarnate flesh, Jesus became a son, born of Mary. So Jesus understands exactly the truth of God because Jesus and God are one. He can't lie. God states in his word, he doesn't lie. So we can believe that Jesus is the truth because he gets his exact words from the Father, the righteous Holy One. That is who Jesus got his truth from. And Christ is the exclusive way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except by me. And in John 6:44, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me. Are you glad that you have been drawn to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you now stand redeemed, you stand justified, you stand reconciled in the eyes of God? Hallelujah. So Christ is merely not the way. He goes before his people as an example, not merely as a prophet pointing out to them by his doctrine the way of salvation, but he is the way of salvation itself. And he's the way of salvation itself is because of Adam's disobedience. Christ was the only one who was obedient until death, and he was sacrificed on the cross for us. See, the first Adam failed. He wasn't obedient to the word of God, and he heard the word of God directly from God. God and Jesus, Jesus being God, he understood the word of God, and he perfectly obeyed what the Father had given him to do. There was no mistake that Jesus was God in the flesh, because God is the only one who can uphold his laws. We as men, we as women, we fail. We fail miserably. That's why we have to cry out to God. We have to turn to him in faith and believe that he is just and that he will forgive us our sins. Because as sinners, we needed the covenant of grace to come in and for God to show us the right way to worship him and to glorify him. And that way was through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So Jesus, he is the way. He is the truth and the life. Matthew Henry states that the disciples followed him, and Christ told them that while they continued following him, they would never be out of their way. They will never be out of their way as long as they were there with him. But we know as brothers and sisters in Christ that we fall each and every moment of our lives in following the way, either what we think, how our heart feels. We don't love as God loves us. We don't love our neighbors as we should. We fall. But it doesn't take us out of the way. We are still in the way of following Jesus Christ as long as we continue to repent and turn from our wicked ways. So Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth. He is the truth in that he speaks the truth. He enacts the truth in his physical flesh. And what he does in the flesh, he is in himself. He is in his own person. So even in the flesh, Jesus stated what was true. Christ is the full expression of everything as it is before God, and everyone as they are. The law was from God. It was true, but it was not the truth. The law was a demand on God's part for what a man in the flesh ought to do. But Christ expressed fully what man is according to God. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came into being down here with the incarnate Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. God, Jesus is not only the truth, he is the only truth. He is the true God, and he is eternal life. See, the truth about Jesus is what through the disciples and those that was practicing Judaism was him claiming to be God. Their question was, how can a mere man claim to be God? You are the flesh just like us. They didn't understand. He was God in the flesh. That's how he could claim to be God. That's how he could tell them what was going on in their hearts and minds as he walked here on earth, because only God knows what is in the heart of man and woman. But Jesus, as he was here on earth, he exposed that to the people, in Jerusalem as he was walking toward the cross. Because in the book of John, this is all tied around the festivities that was going on. All the Jews had come to the Jerusalem for the festivities that was going on. And Jesus is there. And Jesus is interacting with them. And some of the things that Jesus is saying to them is countercultural. Because they're saying, no, we follow Moses. We are Abraham's children. As we would say in the vernacular today, they had the truth twisted, something like that, I think. Any young folks here? Right. Yeah, okay. I'm not that far off. Okay, thanks. So Jesus said, I am the truth. And the psalmist says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, he said, and I will walk in faithfulness to you. Do you see Jesus as being true? Do you see the Holy Scriptures as being true, that they do not lie? Whatever is written in Scripture, it is coming from God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if it comes from God, we can trust it. We can believe in it. Even though sometimes we can't understand it all, we can believe it. We can trust it. And the reason we can't understand it all is because we are finite. And God is infinite. He's above anything, everything that we can imagine. But Jesus and what God says in his word is true. Is true. And truth is opposed to falsehood and error. Yes. Folks will study the Bible and they will say that there are contradictions in the Bible, but they're taking things out of context. They're not looking at the whole of Scripture. So you can take the Bible to be truth because it came from God. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired men to write down Holy Writ. And the Holy Writ is what we as believers live by. It is our bread of life. God's word is our bread of life. And because Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he also is life. He is that because he is the Son. and he is the one who gives life. Jesus states, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the true God, eternal and eternal life. And I could imagine that for the disciples, it was probably hard for them to grasp, as it would be hard for us to grasp, that this Jesus is telling them that I am the way, the truth, and the life, but yet you're telling us that you got to go and die on a cross. Well, how can you be the life if you're going to death? What a mystery. In God's hand, he used the death of Christ to bring eternal life for us, because someone had to pay the penalty for our sin. The sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, did that in obedience to the Father. Jesus knew what he came to earth to do. He came down to earth to die for sinful man. That was his purpose. Not to build a kingdom like the Judaizers wanted him to build. He was building a kingdom that was invisible, a kingdom not seen by the earthly eyes. Obedience to the Father. When everything around him was telling them, no, you should do it this way, you should do it that way. But Jesus says, no, I will do it God's way. And as you're out in your workplace, are you bombarded by doing things of the world or doing things God's way? Well, stay on that straight and narrow path and do things according to God's way, what the word states. Be a witness. Stand firm. Trust in the word of God. It will not fail you. It will not fail you. So Jesus is the life, and that is how we now are alive to God, only through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way to the Father because he is life. Jesus speaks of life in the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, and he says, in him was life, and that he was the light of men. So Jesus, that the life of God was found in him. Therefore, when people come to Jesus, they come to the one in whom the life of the Father is found. And in this sense, also Jesus is the way to the Father. So when he told Philip and Thomas and the disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because him and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are all one. Children, as you are in school, as you are interacting with your friends, they might tell you that there are many ways to God. But I stand here today to inform you that, yes, listen to me, there are many ways to a God, but there's only one way to the triune God. See, you have to understand when people say God, I always ask them, well, can you explain a little bit more about God? Because when you mention God, you have to tie Jesus Christ in there for me to believe that you are a believer. Because if you just say God, I don't know what God you are talking about. And as we know, there are many gods in our society today. But there's only one triune God, God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's only one God, and there's only one way to this triune God, and that way is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the only way. And because he is the way, he gives truth and he gives life to all those who come to him. Are you an unbeliever here today? Today is the day of salvation. You can rest on this truth that Jesus is the life. He is the way and he is the truth. You can rest on that. If you are struggling with that, see one of us after service, one of the elders, see me after service. We can talk about that. But in closing, I just want to say that Jesus came from heaven down to earth to dwell among us. And in dwelling among us, he did it in obedience to God the Father, that there was no sin in him because he was God. He lived that perfect life for us that we could not do on our own, but he did it for us. But better than that, he did not see it as belittling himself to die on Calvary for sin that he did not commit. But yet, he did it for us. And that is an amazing gospel that we can put our hands around and praise God from whom all blessings flow. Because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The first Adam couldn't do it, but the second Adam, Jesus, obeyed to death. And because of Adam's and Eve's sin, he has overcome the death penalty. And even though we may die in this flesh, Lord, have mercy, we have an eternal life that is promised to us, where we will dwell in the presence of God forever, forever, and ever. Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain for our sins. Lord, let it be.